You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzo with the program that puts money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing as the countdown to kickoff is on. We're going to send it straight to the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Ted Safransky, a.k.a. Teddy Covers, will join us on the program. Chris Meany joins me in studio. Joe Lisi talks college football. Ton of football talk on the program today. NFL, college, little DFS as well tomorrow. We'll get back on track and give you a millionaire maker lineup. We got a lot of football talk on the show today. And we've got college football on the board this evening. I've been so focused in on this Arizona-Seattle football game. Listen, a college card, not an attractive one here this evening. But nevertheless, we'll get Joe Lisi's thoughts on tonight's college board. But you want attractive? It's not just attractive. It's freaking smoking hot, the college card this Saturday. So that's why we talk so much college football this week. We've got some great games on the board. NFL this evening. You know, is it a great game? I'm actually looking forward to this game. I think it's going to be a good game. Seattle and Arizona played each other very, very. You know, they're big rivals. And as bad as Arizona have been, and for as many things as have gone wrong for the Arizona Cardinals so far this year, fact of the matter is they're 4-4 right now. They win this football game tonight, and they have the same record as the Seattle Seahawks do, and they're right in the mix. You got the Philadelphia Eagles running away with everything. And you got the Rams, you got the Vikings, but the wild cards are up for grabs right now. And Arizona's thinking, hey, why not? Arizona's starting to get healthier right now as well. And yeah, Carson Palmer and David Johnson aren't there. That blows the fact that David Johnson's not there. But Adrian Peterson's been getting it done for them. And the bottom line is Carson Palmer wasn't playing well anyways. You know, I always talk about perception of reality. And what's amazing, if you ask people, what's Drew Stanton's record as a starting quarterback in the National Football League? All right, he started 14 games. Right now, just answer honestly at home right now when you're watching this. He started 14 games. How many games do you think he's won as a starter? He's won 9 of them. He's 9-5 as a starter. Right? He's now 7-3 as a starter with this Arizona Cardinal football team. So it's not like it was, oh, yeah, but no, it must have happened. No. He's 7-3. He started 10 games. He started 10 times with the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals have won 7 of those football games. So I think Arizona coming in tonight's game with a legitimate opportunity to win this football game. We'll see what Teddy has to say. We'll see what Chris Meany has to say. Joe Lisi will have no opinion. Joe Lisi's going to have an opinion on the college card this evening. So let's get right down to business. The 2017 National Football League season has been a very strange one. And I tell you what, it could be a very long one for maybe half a dozen teams, if not more. Now, we all know the reason why we hold our fantasy football playoffs not in the last couple of weeks of the season is because the last couple of weeks of the season in the National Football League are freaking chaos all the time. All right? Listen, I'm a big degenerate gambler. And, you know, I was up, I've been up until about 4:30 a.m. every night this week betting on Laos and Vietnam Asia Under 19 soccer tournament. So, you know, I bet on everything. Even I don't like to bet on week 17 of the NFL. That's not true, I do. But, you know, I tread cautiously. But I'm telling you what, man, here we are right now going into week 10. It's already turned upside down. We're already at that time of the year right now where teams just don't care. It's amazing. You know, and we're already at that time in the NBA, unfortunately, as well. But that's another story. All right, so look, a couple of weeks ago, the Green Bay Packers were thinking about going to a Super Bowl. Why not? Packers were smoking, man. They were looking great. Right now, the Packers are looking to save a couple of bucks. They know they're not going to the playoffs. Reality is settled in. You know what? You don't want to sign Colin Kaepernick? Then suck. It's amazing to me, out of spite, all these teams will blackball Colin Kaepernick. And right now, don't give me this crap about, oh, Colin Kaepernick's no good. He's better than a piece of crap they're rolling out on a weekly basis in the NFL right now, man. But, hey, you guys want to take your season? Go ahead. Go ahead. I like that Mike McCarthy says, we have 3 years invested in Brett Hundley. I don't need Colin Kaepernick. Well, what the hell have you been teaching? What, you guys been playing Monopoly for the last 3 years? You guys playing Risk? What the hell are you guys doing? You know, 3 years, great, great job. Great job by McCarthy. So, yeah, Green Bay Packers have tapped out. Indianapolis Colts are a train wreck. We know they're a train wreck. Jacoby Brissett's actually balling. Now Jim Irsay is saying that Andrew Luck's not really hurt. It's in his head. Yeah, it's in his head. You know what's in your head? You know, a lot of dead brain cells are saying because of all the pills that you popped over the years. That's what's in your head. So they decided to cut their best player, Avante Davis. Yeah, we don't need, you know what? Why would we need our best cornerback? Why would we need our best cornerback? Let's get rid of him. You know, it's amazing to me. You go down the list, and the Colts are a train wreck. Well, how about the New York Giants situation right now? Yeah, the New York Giants situation is going great. Players are openly mocking McAdoo. McAdoo's a dead man walking. Everybody knows it. The Giants are a freaking train wreck. And McAdoo says, oh, we've got one more run left in us. The only run that you have left in you, McAdoo, is, when you go for a jog in a couple of weeks when you're fired, right? That's the run that McAdoo has left in him. He's in way over his head. Bill O'Brien's a crap-ass coach. Wheels have fallen off in Houston. And we're only into week 10. Let me repeat. This is week 10. We're not even into December yet. By the time it's December, man, there's going to be no one left. NFL players say for who and for what. NFL players are already starting to tap out and quit right now. So, yeah, the wheels are about to fall off with Houston. There are no wheels with Cleveland. There's no wheels. There's no hubcaps. There's just a freaking frame, man. It's just a frame. It's like one of those old movies from the 70s when you leave your car, like, in the Bronx. You come back, and it's just on a bunch of cinder blocks, and there's nothing left. You know, that's the deal that goes on with the Cleveland Browns right now. And it is function. It's actually getting fun. It's actually like popcorn mode right now, actually. Because now, Jerry Jones, who's never had a problem with Goodell over the years, because Jerry Jones never got messed with by Roger Goodell very much. So Jerry Jones all pissed off right now. Even though Jones said to Jerry Deflategate that he was doing a great job. Now Kraft says Goodell's doing a great job. Trying to keep up with all this. Bottom line is you got all these like really rich guys and they like Roger Goodell until Roger Goodell does something to them. So now Jerry Jones is threatening to sue the NFL and including he's going to sue like six NFL owners as well, including Robert Kraft. And speaking of lawsuits, we got Colin Kaepernick suing the National Football League. And you know what? At first, I was thinking, I don't know what the hell you're doing, Kaepernick. You don't, you know, you already have money. I don't even think you want to play in the NFL, to be honest with you. But I see the bigger picture right now. Colin Kaepernick's going after the National Football League. And don't look now, man. The NFL's got some serious-ass problems. Roger Goodell's cell phone and emails have been subpoenaed, guys. Every NFL owner, every NFL GM, you're telling me that not one of these guys said something offensive about Colin Kaepernick? You're telling me that not one of these guys said over my dead body Colin Kaepernick plays in this league? You're telling me that through all the emails, these guys are dumb jocks, man, all right? Even criminals who are smart make mistakes and slip up by saying things they shouldn't. These guys, you know, we're talking about a bunch of fat old, like, billionaires. You know, you don't think that they don't think they're getting subpoenaed. They don't think that everything that they say in an email is ever going to matter. They're not running for president. I guarantee you, man, there's going to be a ton of incriminating stuff in there. And Colin Kaepernick might not ever play in the National Football League again, but Colin Kaepernick's probably going to bring the NFL down, all right? Colin Kaepernick's probably going to hit him for like $300 freaking million. And I'm telling you what, man, I don't think Roger Goodell is going to be the commissioner when this collective bargaining agreement thing is done. I know they're talking about extensions and stuff, but you know what? What has Roger Goodell done good? What, like, the league's a freaking mess. The product sucks. Television networks want out. They don't want to pay the money for the product. Crap-ass pizza companies are unhappy. Who's happy? The only people that are happy right now are Philadelphia Eagle fans. And that's the only cool thing going on right now in the NFL, to be honest with you, is you got all these fresh faces. Rams, Eagles, Jags, and hopefully my Buffalo Bills. I'll tell you what, 2017 will not be remembered as an NFL classic, but in fact, it might be remembered as the year that Mark Cuban was right. It's the beginning of the end. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. I am Gabriel Morenci. Great show. Chris Meany's going to join us in studio in a couple of minutes. We'll run the gauntlet with Chris. We'll talk NBA, NHL, NFL, fantasy, betting. That's what I like about Meany. Meany brings it. Joe Lisi is going to join us. Huge games, Gabe. And we do have some huge games this week on the college football grid. We got some college football tonight, actually, that I might have to add to my portfolio this evening yet. You know, I was looking at the college card last night. Didn't really like anything this evening. Well, maybe Teddy's got an opinion on this. What do we got? Ball State, Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois minus 32. Ugh. App State minus 18. North Carolina and Pitt. Maybe the North Carolina-Pitt game would go over the number, over 49, actually. But let's go. Let's send it to Las Vegas right now. Ted's Sportsbook and Casino. The sportsbook director, Ted Safransky, steps up and in. Teddy covers. Teddy! What's up, Teddy?
Morenci, what's a good word today, my friend?
So it's cool in the desert out there this morning.
Exactly, dude. We're all bundled up here, man.
We got the same memo. We didn't even talk either.
Well, people think like Vegas is Miami or San Diego. It's not. You know, it's in the November, December, January. You know, it's 30s, 20s. You know, consistently.
When I lived in Vegas, I saw snow.
Huh?
Yeah, it snowed. I was
not often.
Yeah, it was melting, you know what I mean? But it was white, and it was coming down.
Yeah, this isn't Boca, you know?
No, people don't realize that. It gets cold, man, in the desert, man, in the middle of the night, without a doubt. All right, Teddy, so a lot of games to get to, so let's jump right in here right now. Tonight's a football game. We got some line movement, and I like the line movement because I just love fading the public. And Johnny Public coming in here this morning. Arizona suck. Arizona this. They don't have David Johnson. They will have Carson Palmer. Listen, Drew Stanton's probably better than Carson Palmer at this point in time. And I like to play a little game when it comes to NFL numbers. And I know, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but I was asking people this morning. I said, you know, Drew Stanton started 14 games in his NFL career. How many games do you think he's won as a starter? Even our boy Cam's like 6-8. I'm like, oh, a little better, 7-7. Yeah, a little better. Yeah, 8-6, a little better. He's 9-5. He's now 7-3 as a starter with the Arizona Cardinals. And like I said, too, this isn't one of these, yeah, buddy, he was starting on the Patriots, right? And it was on our, like, you know, no, he's starting on the same damn team. Yeah, there's no David Johnson. But I think Arizona come into tonight's football game feeling good about themselves. Despite everything that's gone wrong for them, here they are, 4-4. They win this game. They have the same record as the Seattle Seahawks do. The wild card lanes are wide open on this expressway this year in the NFC. And I love the fact they're getting everybody back on defense. They're starting to get healthy on the defensive side of the ball. I like to read between the lines, and I can tell Arians, it's like, well, we're starting to get healthier, we're a little confident. You know, we got confidence in the huddle with Stanton right now. You know, I think Arizona comes to play tonight. I like the 6.5, and I'll buy a half point, boot it up to 7.
No, I don't agree with you, which is the good thing. If everyone agreed on the same side, then there'd be no market.
Well, look, I did a Twitter poll. I did a Twitter poll this morning, and we got 78 votes in 14 minutes. And I don't know how it was possible, but it was 50-50. We had 39 each. And I said to Cam, man, the books love this because this game is split.
Well, you were just telling me the public's all over Seattle. We've seen some, certainly here in Vegas, there's been a modest public support for the Seahawks. Also been a little bit of wise guy support for the Seahawks at the sportsbooks here in Las Vegas. And look, only one game separates these two teams in the standings, and yet the markets are saying that there's more than a touchdown difference between the two squads on a neutral field. I agree with that assessment. And when you tell me, all right, well, Drew Stanton's got this great record, I went back and looked. Drew Stanton played the Seahawks twice in the last 3 years. Go look at those games and tell me how Drew Stanton's record is. I'll give you a hint.
Well, I remember the Seahawks playing the Cardinals last year, and it was a 6-6 game. And I remember the other game when the Seahawks played
that
the Cardinals.
That wasn't Stanton. That was Carson Palmer.
Yeah, I know, but it was a 6-6 game. You know, like, it's not like Seattle have proven nothing to want to lay. This line is way out of whack. It's ridiculously stupid, and people will realize it 3 hours after the game is kicks off. Seattle laying 6.5 on the line. What have Seattle done to justify this? What,
nothing.
They beat the Giants? On the road once?
No, I mean, the Seahawks have been money losers. They have not lived up to any expectations. They lost again at home last week. A week after, they barely beat the Texans. You know, they're lucky to beat the Texans in that ballgame. They've certainly not been the type of squad that people are saying, yeah, let's back up the Brinks truck and lay it with Seattle on the highway. But prior to the last drive against the last drive against the Redskins last week, Seattle had a 250-yard edge in that ballgame. The red zone offense didn't work. Arizona's red zone defense hasn't been any good all year long. It really hasn't. And when you're talking about three missed Blair Walsh field goals and two missed two-point conversions and, you know, all the things that went wrong for the Seahawks in that game that kept their scoreboard number low, that's a week after they hung 41 on Houston. I think that there's a vast difference between the two teams. And don't underestimate. We talked about Drew Stanton. And the two games that Stanton's had against Seattle, the Arizona hasn't reached 10 points either time. You know, he's had two of them. And Adrian Peterson had a career, not a season high, a career high 37 rush attempts last week.
That's the biggest concern. That's the biggest concern. That's it.
Which means they can't ride Peterson tonight on a short week, an aging guy. He doesn't even know the system. Which means Drew Stanton's going to have to make plays. And hey, more power to you. You think Drew Stanton can make plays for you? Go for it.
Well, I don't think he has to make
a lot of plays against Seahawks defense.
I don't think he has to make that many plays, to be honest with you. It's not like Seattle's going to pull away. And you mentioned, yeah, Blair Walsh missed three field goals last week. So is this like a pumpkin? Is he going to turn into Cinderella and suddenly he's going to be a good kicker again? Like, he misses field goals every week, Teddy. Like, it's not like this is a...
I thought
like,
he had one miss going into last week.
He's a terrible kicker, man. The guy sucks.
He's had some high-profile bad games. Most notably, the Vikings-Seahawks in the playoffs.
He's lucky he's in the league. We'll put it that way.
Sure he is. You know?
I mean, look, yeah, you know, you're right. He's been decent with Seattle. You're right. But they haven't been booting 52-yarders. He's nowhere as near as good as Hoshka. You can see the fear in the guy's eyes every time he goes out there. I don't trust them at all. But I can't disagree in a sense. I like Arizona a lot in this spot, but I'm not naive in believing that Arizona are a good team. You know, Arizona's wins, you know, they go to overtime against San Francisco. They go to overtime against the Colts. They did punch the Bucs in the mouth, but everyone punches the Bucs in the mouth. But they're a decent home team. They're a decent home team. And, you know, I have a lot of faith in Bruce Arians. And you mentioned the defense. Arizona's defense disappointed me earlier, Teddy, but they lost four guys. They're sort of rebuilding this thing, and now they're much healthier right now. I think this game comes down to the wire. It wouldn't shock me, listen, if Seattle wins a boring-ass, you know, 17-23-6 game or something like that, but I don't see it from Seattle. There's nothing I like about this Seattle team that can justify laying points.
There's a couple things I like about the Seattle team that justify laying points. One is that we're getting a squad that hasn't been covering point spreads. That's coming off a loss. The sense of urgency is now for the Seahawks. And if you look at Pete Carroll's track record in Seattle, when do the Seahawks get good? Every year, November, you see this team turn it up. This is Seattle's time. And you talked about the four wins for Arizona. Yeah, okay, great. Knock yourself out. Indy, San Fran, Tampa, and San Fran again.
So who did Seattle
beat? That's the four weakest wins you're going to find in the league.
I think Seattle's played the exact same damn schedule. All right, they beat Indianapolis. They beat San Francisco.
They beat Houston.
They beat the New York Giants.
They beat the Rams in L.A.
That's the big one. That was the big one. I was on the Seahawks in that game.
They beat the Bears comfortably.
So you're telling people you like the Seahawks then?
Yes. It'd be Seahawks or pass for me.
All right. All right. What about the total? Is it too low?
I don't trust Arizona to score. I don't trust Arizona to get stops. So it's. I don't know if it's too low. When you have those situations where, you know, I don't trust this team to score. I don't play totals.
But it's so damn low. Like, you still look at the Sunday nighter. It gets there. It creeps all over these. These freaking low totals, it's a dangerous way to make a living betting the unders in these. You know, you need a lot of things to go right. All right, let's move on to the next game. We'll see if we go head-to-head on this one.
Although, yeah.
Although I don't know if we will because I don't have as much backup on this. I'm ready to go. I can debate all day the Arizona game. Chargers and Jaguars. I'll ask you here, what the hell's going on with Leonard Fournette here? Like, you know, he says, I saw you retweet the picture. I was there on time. Just shut up, dude. You know, Marone doesn't play around. Marone nearly punched out Doug Whaley before a Bills game, like in the hallway, you know, in a tunnel. You know, Doug Marone, he might have a problem playing with others, Doug Marone, but you got a good thing going here. You got a real nasty, physical Jags defense getting the Chargers team coming in here. Normally, I'd think that this is a bad matchup for the Chargers, but the Chargers aren't as soft as they normally are. What do you make of this game with line movement down to 3.5 right now?
Yeah, well, we're going to see popular, we're going to see wise guy support for the Chargers over the course of the next day or two. So if you like LA, I would get involved sooner rather than later. I think this line will come down to 3. As for the Leonard Fournette thing, I thought it was funny. and I don't mind a guy with a little bit of a sense of humor. You need a little bit of sense of humor in this world that we live in, Gabe. That's why you and I get along so well. But when it comes to the fundamental matchups here, Chargers' offensive line has been spotty at best. Phillip Rivers has been a guy who's been consistently chucking the ball up there and letting his receivers make plays in one-on-one, you know, balls or make one-on-one plays to try to catch the ball. I don't know that that works against the Jaguars. You know, this is a Jags team. They're going to be favored each of the next 4 weeks. You know, we've seen them dominate consistently teams that don't control the line of scrimmage. And the Chargers certainly fall into that category. And we've seen the playmakers on defense make plays all year against quarterbacks chucking the ball up into these, you know, jump ball type of situations. So everything that LA wants to do, they were a good team going before that. And one thing we've seen coming out of the bye this year, at least so far, the team you were going in is the team you are coming out. And the Chargers, you know, from that awful start, they've been a lot better in recent weeks. Their defense has certainly stepped up in a way that I didn't know they were capable of. And the Jags still settle for field goals. That's what Jacksonville does. They're not an elite offensive squad. Lean here is probably towards the under rather than a side. If I was going to get involved, I can understand the case for the Chargers, but Jaguars right now, a little bit of a different animal when it comes to defenses that are making plays.
Teddy, you and I earlier were talking about the Buffalo Bills and a New Orleans Saints game. Saints riding a 6-game win streak right now. Buffalo Bills coming off a flat performance on Thursday night. And I find it comical, actually, watching the outside perspective, national media, casual fans. I knew the Bills were frauds, told you. You know, collapse. You know, red one. A pathetic performance. Horrible. You know, basically, like, you know, the season's over. They lost on Thursday Night Football. Pack it in. It's done. And as a Bills fan, I'm laughing, and I told someone last night, I said, yeah, because we all thought they were going 13-3, right? They were going to win every damn game from here on out, and la-di-da-da, that's the way this NFL works. And I also brought up, and I, you know, no one would admit it, I said, how many Bills games do you guys watch this year? I had hundreds of people in a chat. A few people, I sort of saw a bit against the Falcons, and they were lucky Julio Jones got hurt, going down the list. But we always talk about it, Teddy. People always, especially batters, people always remember what they saw last. Short attention deficit disorder. And so people haven't seen the Bills all year. They see the Bills on national television and the Bills are flat. And now, you know, the Jackals come out that the Bills season's done. But I'm surprised to see it even from, like, football writers and mainstream media, national guys. Well, the Bills run was nice, but it's all over now. We're talking about a team that's 4-0 at home. And I actually like this, Teddy. You know, this is just like the college basketball team that loses in a conference tournament. We were getting a little bit too fat and happy anyways, man. Everyone in Buffalo, ooh, this is different than other teams. We're not going to collapse. You know, everyone's giving McDermott pats on the back at Ralph's grocery store. It needed to stop. You know, we lost. We have a break ready to get ready for a football team. And oh, yeah, the weather's going to be very Buffalo-like on Sunday as well. I like this as a nice cold shower. Hey, we're not as good as everyone says we are. We're not as good as we thought we were. Let's get back to work. I love the Bills this week.
No argument. And you and I are going to be on this 100% agreement on this ballgame. It reminds me of last year, and I hate to do cross-sport analogies, but I remember the Bucs were a team that I was real high on. and they played on national TV. And they got a knife. I don't remember. It was on an NBA on TNT. They hadn't had a TV game all year.
Yeah.
And they played on TV, and they got annihilated. And I lost a big bet on the Bucks in that game. You know what I said? I said, good. Because now whatever value there was in Milwaukee, it's still going to be there for another month. And I cashed another 5, 6, 8 tickets betting on the Bucks over the course of the next month. Because that one TV game, they looked so bad that the markets never really moved on checking out their improvement. And this is Buffalo. I mean, the Bills do a lot of things right. Look, you know, how they lose to the Jets? Short weeks stink. Okay.
Yep. You know, I mean, and the point you brought up about Peterson, McCoy played right into the same thing. McCoy went hard the week before on the Sunday.
He sure did. And he had, what, 12 carries for 25 yards?
Yeah.
And they were smart enough not to burn him into the ground because they're going to need him this week. I mean, really. Tyrod Taylor doesn't make mistakes. You know, he's a quarterback that gets no love anywhere, and he just doesn't make many. And he made a couple mistakes on Thursday night. And we saw a Bills team that came into the game with the fewest turnovers in the NFL. They were -3 in turnovers against the Jets. And a defense that had been forcing turnovers every week that matches up pretty well with the Saints. They didn't force any turnovers on the short week either. So certainly from a spot perspective, I like Buffalo with extra time. I like them off the loss. I like the matchups against the Saints, who are not as good at wide receiver this year as they've been in recent years. We got New Orleans as fat and happy as it gets, 6 straight wins, coming off big wins over bad teams. Yeah, Bills are nothing for this better.
And we said the weather as well, Ted. It's going to be about 3 to 5 degrees, scattered showers off and on through the day, 16, 17 mile an hour winds, just nice early football Buffalo weather. Like, it's tailor-made for them. It really is tailor-made. I don't know how many more minutes we have. How many more minutes we have here with Teddy? How many more games can I get to here? Guys in the booth, can you let me know? How many minutes do we have left with Teddy? All right, so. I don't want to disturb them, Teddy. I don't know. I'm sure they got another conversation going on about something else. Vikings and Redskins. So we got 3 minutes. I want to get your take on the NBA card tonight, actually, speaking of the NBA. But quickly on the Vikings-Redskins. Vikings, people in Philadelphia, a guy got a Philadelphia Eagle tattoo I saw today. Super Bowl champs. Yeah, good luck with that. The Eagles are playing good football, but nobody's talking about this Viking team right now. Coming out of the bye, you mentioned teams are what they were coming out of the bye, riding this 4-game win streak against the Redskins that, as you mentioned earlier, it's not like they played great last week. They just sort of pulled it out against Seattle because, you know, they just played pitch and catch. They didn't tap out. What do you make of a Viking-Redskin game?
Well, one thing with Washington that's been a huge concern for them has been their offensive line.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a train wreck when it comes to injuries over the course of the last couple of weeks. And lo and behold, the Redskins, who were -4 starters last week, as many as 3 of them could be back on the field against Minnesota. So that is a situation that was worth watching. Pay attention to those injury reports. Pay attention to those active, inactive reports when it comes to the Redskins' offensive line. Because if they get those guys back, they can match up with Minnesota in the trenches fairly well. And I'll take Kirk Cousins over Case Keenum, who suddenly has to look over his shoulder at Teddy Bridgewater. You know, Cousins did what he does in Seattle, which is find a way to win a close game, make plays at the end of ball games. We've seen that a lot from Kirk Cousins throughout the course of his career as a starter in Washington. But if the offensive line isn't healthy, again, for the Redskins, and if the 3 potential starters that could be back aren't back, boy, from a fundamental standpoint, this team is likely to get wiped out in the trenches against that strong Vikings defensive front.
All right, quickly on the NBA card, we got the Cavs and Rockets, Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Denver Nuggets are the marquee matchups, the TV games tonight, Teddy. Any interest in this card? Oklahoma City Thunder, I watched them against Sacramento. Man, I haven't seen a team care less. It was bizarre. Like, it was really strange. Like, I don't know. Carmelo wasn't even sweating. Paul George looked a little pissed off, but it was a really bad performance, man, the other night against Sacramento. Then you got the Cavs here tonight. I don't trust the Rockets laying the points. I'm not saying it's a lock. It's an early season NBA game, but I think the Cavs plus 190 money line is worth a sprinkle.
So you were talking about how, the OKC looked lethargic, shall we put it, in the loss to Sacramento, and saying, I haven't seen this team look worse. You know, the Kings are a team that's like the we were just talking about with the Buffalo Bills. I mean, if you watch them play, they've had some awful games where they're no show right from the tap. That wasn't the case, obviously, against OKC the other night. But certainly, I'm not going to talk yet of the Cleveland plus the points or Cleveland on the money line in this game. Houston's really stepped it up the last three contests. Obviously, the Cavs, I haven't been able to match that intensity. But if you look at the two, there's only been twice this year that we've seen Cleveland catching points. We saw it at Milwaukee. They dominated that game. We saw it at Washington. They dominated that game. The Cavs, in games that have their attention, have performed very well in this underdog role.
Great point, Teddy. It's on TV, and we're in an era, as we see with Lane Kiffin. Everybody knows what the point spread is now. Kept you watching. So, you know LeBron's like, what, really? We're 5.5, they think that? You know, like, you're right. It's worth a shot. All right, we got to get out of here. Great stuff as always, Teddy. Check out Teddy, sportsmemo.com, one of the cover's experts, and watch his daily videos over at sportsbookreview.com's YouTube page called Sports Bit. Thanks, Teddy.
Cheers.
All right, take a quick break. Chris Meany in studio.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
I apologize. I had my notes all ready to go, but I spoke to camera two Drew during this break, and I got a little bit dumber. I can't find anything.
He'll do that to you.
He really.
Yeah. He's on today, too. Oh, he's got hot takes.
Yeah, just for the record, I started laughing. I said, Ball State's plus 32. And Drew gets a chuckle, Ball State. So dealing with Beavis and Butthead. And he asked me, are you laughing because it's Ball State? I said, no, I'm laughing because they're plus 32.
It's a huge spread.
Beavis and Butthead's great, though. You know what else is great? Dober Dog Games. Fantasy sports just got a lot easier to play and win with the hottest new games. By Dober Dog Games, no more long lineups. No more complicated salary caps for people like Cameron 2 Drew. Create at least three matchups you want and you're good to go. Make any combination of matchups you want. Play quarterbacks, wide receivers. You can mix and match sports. So as I stated, you're not playing in like a pool against 100,000 people or anything like that. You just pick three over under fantasy point matchups for three different players. You can mix sports and you get paid 6-1. Use promo code PUNT to enter free contests with cash prizes just for joining. That's promo code PUNT. You can win cash fast and easy at Dober.games. Sign up now at Dober.games. It's free. You don't have any money? You can check it out. Just enter promo code PUNT. Let's bring in Chris Meany. Well, Chris Meany's already been brought in. He's sitting next to me, but let's start talking to him.
A little football game here tonight, Seahawks, Cardinals.
Yeah, we appreciate the hats from New Era.
Yeah, they're nice sharp. Hats. Yeah. What?
Pretty interesting, though. I don't know where the Buffalo Bill hat went missing right away. Huh?
No Eagles one either, I noticed.
Who steals these hats? Like, for the love of God, and Drew points at me. So you think I took the Bills hat? I wasn't even here when these hats got here, all right? I don't wear hats anymore. You see me wearing a hat? But I noticed there's no Bills hat. There's no Eagles hat.
No, there's no Bills. There's no Eagles. There's a couple teams missing, but they are sharp. They're nice.
Very nice hats.
Oh, nice hat.
Yeah, very, pass me the red one there. Here we go. Let's go Cardinals.
You on the Cardinals tonight?
Damn right I am.
Oh,
even
baby.
More so than I just went back and forth with Teddy. Teddy's trying to make me look bad on national television. Only I make myself look bad on national television. All right, so what do you like tonight in this game?
I like the Seahawks. No, you know what? I'm not going to bet this game because when these two teams play, and every time the Seahawks are favored by more than 3 points, they lay an egg. They really do. And with Earl Thomas not expected to play in this game, I think it's actually going to be a lot closer than what people think. And I think with a division rival, this could be a tight football game. I really do think that. So I think Seattle wins straight up, but I know it's like a little bit of a cop-out to come in here and say that I'm not going to bet the game, but I just don't feel comfortable with picking 5.5, picking that spread. The Seahawks
up to 6.5 right now.
Well, there you go. I mean, they're a fraud to me. And they at home last week against Washington, they should have won that game. I don't care that Blair
struggled against the Washington game. And that's the thing. And Ted Savransky brought that up. Well, you know, they lost last week because Blair Walsh.
They still have him.
Yeah, that's what I exactly said. What, is he suddenly going to be good?
He's still their kicker.
And he debated to me that, you know, he doesn't suck. He's just missed high-profile kicks. No, he sucks.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
And you know what? I mean, Stanton is 7-3 as a starter, filling in for just Palmer alone.
9-5 as a whole. Yep.
Yeah. There's a lot of numbers going, you know, his way in
Arizona.
Earl Thomas
despite not
that
being
team.
There is massive.
It's huge.
Let me ask you from a fantasy standpoint, and it's correlated with the bet here, is Adrian Peterson. Dave Malinsky brought this up, and that's why he's a professor last week. With LeSean McCoy being a little bit worn out after that big game on Sunday.
The short week.
The short week against the Jets. You could tell he just didn't have that spark. He couldn't get to the corners. And the Bills were smart. They sort of said, all right, we're not winning. Just give him some rest here.
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson. Remember earlier in the year, Chris, when Adrian Peterson went off for that massive game, the following week, he had 17 yards.
He was a bust. He was a bust.
And now we have a shorter week.
And he had a career-high 37
carries. 37 carries.
I know.
So how do you think he plays tonight? Because I tell you, if AP can move the sticks, man, we're in this game.
Absolutely. And you know what? You've been able to run on Seattle so far this season. They haven't been that same defense that we've seen over the past couple years. And you mentioned Earl Thomas. So this is a short week. I don't think AP is going to be able to get a 37 carries. But some quotes that I read from Bruce Arians is that, listen, this guy runs through walkthroughs. He's not your typical running back. And I understand it's a short week and it's on Thursday Night Football and it's against Seattle. But this guy is just, if I tell him that he's going to get under 20 carries, I'm going to have to fight with him on the sidelines.
Dude, he's the type of guy, too. AP right now, he's like at home drinking a protein shake. Thinking all you haters, national television.
He's still pissed off about what happened in New Orleans with getting, you know, he had just as many carries in his first game with Arizona than he had snaps.
I thought he was delusional, but he's been playing well.
He has.
It was a perfect spot for him to land.
Yeah.
And, you know, credit to Arizona for actually doing it, unlike these other teams that would rather tank their season than sign Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
All right, so let's talk a little DFS. As far as tonight, it's nothing you really want to jump to.
No, there isn't.
Rams and Texans is something that maybe I'm going to be taking a look at. All the bozos like me are going to jump on the golf bandwagon.
And it's probably a week too late.
I know.
It's probably a week too late.
I was going to say, you've been just basically blindly every week, right?
Yeah.
Just taking golf, cup.
It's worked. You know? It's worked out a couple of weeks against in good matchups, and this is one too. I mean, the Texans have allowed the third most points in football, and the Rams are the highest scoring team in the NFL. It's hard to figure out which Rams guy. I mean, Robert Woods leads their team in targets, receptions, and yards. He's not going to get a touchdown every week like he did last week. That was more on the Giants.
Sammy Watkins is hit or miss.
I mean, he's had five games this season with two or fewer catches. He only had the one catch last week, and it happened to be for a touchdown. Cooper Kupp is the guy, if you're looking for touchdowns, he leads the league in red zone targets. So he's the guy for me. Gurley is the one that I like the most. I'm going to fade, actually, Goff this week because I feel like it's a week too late. People are like, they see what happened last week.
People are going to be on a Goff
bandwagon. So I'm going to fade that. But I like Gurley every single week. This guy is involved.
What quarterback are you taking a look at?
McCown.
McCown
is my value guy. I mean, the Bucs they're struggling. And McCown has been consistent. He's fourth in completions. He's fifth in completion percentage. He's third in rushing touchdowns with three. He's got some weapons there. Robbie Anderson has a touchdown in three straight games. Kearse is playing well. He's got some running backs that they can sprinkle in there. It's a really good matchup. So I'm tackling that Atlanta
Dallas
game. You
know, I like Adam Humphries in that game.
And Adam Humphries. Humphries is a must play, I think.
Me and Sakata were talking about stacking Fitz and Humphries, but I like where you're going with McCown. And I prefer McCown because I actually think the Jets are going to win this game.
So do I.
As crazy as it sounds.
Yeah.
They don't suck, the Jets. I just saw them in person. They play hard. They're an aggressive
team. The obvious quarterbacks, Gabe or Stafford and Big Ben, in really good matchups. But if you want to spend down a little bit, I think
what are we going to hear about Elliott later in the day today?
Yeah, I think we're going to hear later on. I think he's going to play, man. It's just it's anybody's guess.
I agree, though. I think there's value with Matt Ryan, actually, in coming to this
Nobody's
game.
On him. Yeah. Nobody's going to
Everyone,
be on
people remember what they saw last, and people remember, oh, Sarkisian is.
Yeah.
Atlanta are going to win this game. They're going to throw the ball around. This is going to be one of those games
where
we've only got
what?
A minute or two here.
He's coming off his best game of the season, Matt Ryan, against Carolina. It's good defense.
All right. Do we have the Eagle tattoo? Chris Meaney wasn't in earlier today.
This
is actually Chris's arm.
Look how hairy that arm is, by the way.
I can't help but notice.
It's a bit much.
I don't want to call the guy out. People are very mean on the internet. They're already, like, I saw People are like, I don't mind the tattoo, but what's up with the Brillo pad?
I mind the tattoo. Like, what is Buddy thinking? Like, come on, man. Let's relax.
What does he mean, though? Like, they're winning this year, or is he giving them a three-year window?
He may be giving them a three. This is the start of a dynasty.
I didn't say 218, man. I said to you.
It's the start of a dynasty. You know, there's a lot of talk with what happened with the Sports Illustrated article, the front page 3 years ago, George Springer. There's some people who just want to put themselves out there, but at the end of the day, this guy looks like a moron. Yeah. I don't support it.
All right. We only got 30 seconds. Wild and Hab tonight. Lindbergh.
This guy's 5-0.
This guy's unbelievable.
His entire career.
And you know what? Lindbergh, you know where he's from?
I know where he played university hockey.
Minnesota.
In Minnesota. Revenge for him.
He's going to be all fired up.
He set records NCAA. He was the goalie of the year 2 years ago. I mean,
he's a local Minnesotan.
Find these guys.
He's a local Minnesotan.
Yeah.
It's a revenge spot. 6-3 loss last week. I like the Habs tonight, minus 45 cents.
They've won six of their
last
games.
I told everybody earlier in the year, you got to chill out. The Habs are going to be just fine. Pacioretty's a great leader. Game time decisions continues.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Yeah, we spent so much time focusing in on the Seattle and Arizona game, and rightfully so. Listen, nobody likes these Thursday night games. The players hate them. Fans, the ratings aren't really ever great for them. But tonight's an interesting game, actually. These two teams don't like each other. Historically, they play close games. Last year, they had that real clunker when they were in Arizona. It was a 6-6 game, but excuse me. Arizona have had a lot of things go wrong for them this year, guys. A ton of freaking injuries. And they've actually battled back to be 4-4 right now. And, you know, like I said earlier when we were talking with Teddy, yeah, who have they beaten? They haven't beaten anyone. Who's Seattle beaten? That's another thing when I want to talk about the Georgia Bulldogs. Hopefully we can track down Joe Lisi right now. Georgia Bulldogs, they beat Notre Dame. That was a great win, but that was in the second week of the season. And Notre Dame's a much better team now than they were then. I think Georgia a little bit overrated. I like Auburn in this football game. But tonight's college football card, Ball State and Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois are 32-point favorites in this game. They play against Western Michigan next week. I know how bad Ball State are, guys. I'm basically blindly betting on Ball State here. All right? It's 32 points. Northern Illinois only averaged 26 points a game. Northern Illinois offense is not an explosive one. So you have a team that scores 26.7 points a game, and they're supposed to win the game by 32. You look at Ball State. Ball State score 18 points a game. They're giving up 39 points per game. They're a horrible freaking football team. This is a small, small recreational play, but I just think the number is way, way, way too high. We got North Carolina and Pitt on the board this evening as well. It's a crap-ass college card tonight, man. Georgia Southern, App State, North Carolina and Pitt. I think North Carolina and Pitt can put some points on the board tonight. Pittsburgh Panthers offense been getting better. Max Brown, former USC Trojan transfer, now with the Pittsburgh Panthers. The quarterback for the Panthers. He struggled earlier in the season. And think, Brown actually beat out Sam Darnold for the starting spot last year in USC. So the kids obviously got talent. They struggled. Their offense struggled a little bit earlier, but Pittsburgh is starting to put some points up on the board. I like the over of that football game. But as we mentioned, we got Georgia. We got Georgia and we got Auburn. This game is as big as it gets, all right? Now, the Georgia Bulldogs, remember earlier we were talking about the Buffalo Bills? And we said the Bills are hearing about how good they are, and, you know, they're getting patted on the back. That's the Georgia Bulldogs right now. Ranked number one, even ahead of Alabama, which is insanity. All right, I think we got Joe Lisi right now. All right, forget about these crappy games tonight. Maybe we'll get that on the way out. Georgia and Auburn. I think Georgia are in a lot of trouble here, Joe. You know, everybody's ripping on Wisconsin. Oh, Wisconsin hasn't played anybody. I'm looking at Georgia. All right, the Notre Dame game is nice, but what's their impressive win next to that? What, you beat Florida? Hell, Missouri just beat Florida. All right, South Carolina. South Carolina covered the number. I'm not taking anything away from the Georgia Bulldogs, but this to me is the toughest test. Notre Dame are a better team now, Joe, than they were in week two. This is the toughest test of the year for Georgia, and I think they're going to lose the game outright.
Well, Gabe, this is the SEC's oldest rivalry, and Georgia has won four of the last five and dominated by 23.2 points per game. But that being said, you're talking about a Georgia team that in every game this year has rushed for over 200 yards. The only game they didn't rush for over 200 was against Notre Dame, 185 yards on the ground. Auburn's allowed 157 yards rushing the last three games. I still like the offensive line. I like Kirby Smart. I think Georgia gets a 10-point victory Saturday on the Plains.
You know what intrigues me about this game is obviously the ground attack of the Georgia Bulldogs, and that's the difference maker. You got two NFL caliber backs in Michelle and Chubb, of course. But that Auburn defense, very, very stingy. Two great defenses clash. This is a great football game. This really is. Out of all the big games, and I know the Catholic convicts is sexy, but this is the one that I'm really looking forward to. And to me, I like the Gus Malzahn factor. This is the biggest game that Kirby Smart's ever coached in, and I guess we're going to be saying that a lot over the next couple of weeks, potentially. But I just think Georgia, you know, have been pushed. You know, Georgia are in the SEC championship game already anyways. And everybody's talking about how they're going to lose that game and they'll be in the final no matter what. I say, like Lee Corso says, not so fast. They lose this game. Alabama beats them up in a conference championship game. They got two losses and, you know, they're playing in the freaking Peach Bowl. So, you know, things can change in a hurry in college football. That's what makes the sport so great, Joe.
This is what it's all about, Gabe. Each and every week matter. It's not like the NFL where you take weeks off. This is why we watch, and you're absolutely right. There's crazy things that happen on the Plains in Auburn. You can look a few years ago with that crazy tip pass that Auburn returned for a touchdown on the last play of the game.
Yeah, the missed kick. What do they call that? What's the name of that play? Can't believe it. I was talking about that play the other day. They had a gate for it or whatever. Missed kick gate, whatever. What the hell it was, I don't know. Notre Dame and Miami. Catholics versus convicts. I'm leaning Notre Dame in this one, actually. I'm sure you're going to disagree with me and go with Miami, right?
Yeah, we're bucking heads this week, Gabe. I like Miami's secondary. They're giving up 197 passing yards per game, 9 interceptions over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, but Notre Dame run the ball. Notre Dame run the ball. They're not a pass-happy team, Joe.
I understand that, but Virginia Tech ran the ball as well, and Miami was able to keep Josh Jackson in the pocket. I think that's why I like Miami in this ballgame. I think they forced third down and long situations. Brandon Wimbush, 51% completion percentage, and Miami has a more balanced offense. That's why I think the Canes prevail. Tough game, though. I think they win 27-20 over Notre Dame.
All right, we've only got like 25 seconds. Alabama, Mississippi State, Mark Lawrence went bold. And Mark doesn't pick a lot of big upsets like this. Mark says Mississippi State beats Alabama outright.
Well, I think they play it close, and I think Alabama doesn't cover the number. I think it's a 10-point game, 30-20, but the speed of Mississippi State's defense keeps Jalen Hurts in the pocket. And look for Nick Fitzgerald. This is an offense that's rushing for over 200 yards per game, puts pressure on a beat-up Alabama defense against LSU last week. That's the one factor that I don't like for the Alabama Crimson Tide on the road this coming Saturday.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with our plays of the day next. Thanks to Joe Lisi. Game Time Decisions continues.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day. I read something interesting, courtesy of the oddsmakers over at Bookmaker. They said that like 70% of the action is on Seattle, but they have more money on Arizona. Very similar to that Connor and Floyd situation. So I think some smart people are taking a home team. I'm not saying I'm smart, but I am taking a home team. Give me the Arizona Cardinals plus the 6.5, 7. I'll buy it up to 7 if I have to. Russell Wilson, over 23.5 completions. They can't run the ball. They pass all the time. Baldwin, over 5.5 receptions. Russell Wilson's going to scramble, over 30.5. Drew Stanton, over 204.5 passing yards. Give me the Raptors to get it done against the Pelicans. Cavaliers beat the Rockets outright, plus 190, over 228. And the Blue Blancs Rouge get it done. They lost 6-3 to the Wild. Last week, they win tonight. May the winners be yours.